Well, as our family approaches our move date, one of the things that I'm excited to see is my son's reaction to seeing real mountains. No offense. At times, here and there, we've shown him pictures of where we're going to be moving to, and he's able to recognize mountains in the picture. But I know that at the end of the day, he's unable to recognize the majesty of the mountains from just the picture. I know this to be true because sometimes he points at mountains around here and says, "Whoa, look at that big mountain." A picture doesn't allow him to stand in front of the mountain and realize just how big it is. And sometimes in the Christian life, we are tempted to rely on pictures and shadows when we have the opportunity to be looking and beholding the true substance of religion, Christ himself. So our text this evening, it's going to warn us of the danger of exchanging the substance of Christ for empty shadows. So follow along as I read Colossians 2, verse 16 through 19. "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God." Well, I think the main idea of our text this evening is this: reject empty rituals, remain in real religion. Reject empty rituals, remain in real religion. And that's going to break into two points for us this evening. Our first point, reject empty rituals. Our second, remain in real religion. And so for our time, for our first point, we'll be taking verses 16 and 18 together. And for our second, we will be taking 17 and 19 together. But right off the jump in our passage this evening, Paul says, "Therefore." And so we know he is continuing his line of thought from previous sections. And right now we find ourselves in the heart of Paul's pastoral concerns for the Colossians. Remember, the letter started off with Paul's encouraging remarks on how the faith of the Colossians had been reported to him. But Paul's desire still is that they would be filled more with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual understanding. He then transitions out of his prayer for them and explains how Christ is the fullness of deity. He is the preeminent one. And because this is true, Paul exhorts them to look to Christ for true wisdom, not human traditions or elemental spirits. Paul's aim is to disarm those sources of pressure through the gospel. So in chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, Paul reminds them once again, Jesus embodies the fullness of deity. And the Colossians have been filled in him. They are united to the one that has all rule and authority, the one who is supreme to all elemental spirits, to all philosophies, and all plausible arguments. And for this very reason, Paul in our text this evening in verse 16 says, "Therefore." Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you. And in verse 18, let no one disqualify you. Both verse 16 and 18 in our passage carry the brunt of Paul's imperative charge toward the Colossians. The Colossians are to reject the rebukes of these empty religious rituals. And Paul is warning the Colossians that they are not immune to error or to false teaching sneaking in, and neither are we. And what Paul is helping us to see is that one way we become deceived is when we allow ourselves to be judged or condemned by philosophies and traditions that ultimately reject Christ. In our text this evening, we get a small glimpse of what this judgment focuses on. Look down at verse 16. The Colossians are being judged in matters of what they eat and drink, what festivals and holidays they celebrate, or specific moons and Sabbath days they keep. You know, at first glance, these regulations seem to be a shadow or an influence from the Old Covenant Levitical law. But that doesn't stop there. Look now to verse 18. The list of things continues to grow. They also insist on asceticism, worship of angels, and they also seem to be quite obsessed with this visionary realm that leads to specific religious experiences. At first glance, these two lists might seem random, disconnected even. But they are a system of religious rituals that are a threat to the sufficiency of Christ. If the Colossians adopt them, they forfeit trusting in Christ alone. And these practices that we see, this list, they're means really to enter into this visionary realm of heightened experience. Their claim is this: true spirituality, true wisdom, true knowledge, and true religious experience is found by doing these things, entering into these visions. Here is a list of things you must do in order to experience this. In effect, they are claiming Christ is not sufficient for all life and godliness. Now, most commentators would agree that the Colossian heresy is one of the hardest to nail down. Some speculate that it's more Jewish in nature. Others would even claim that's an early form of Gnosticism. But what we can gather is it's still a threat. We don't know the exact nature. Even the worship of angels is slightly confusing, obviously. And it can be taken in two different directions. Some commentators think that the false teachers are actually worshiping angels in order to be ushered into these visions. Other commentators would think that and argue that they are actually entering into this visionary realm to witness the angels worshiping God. And this tension is why some translations, like the ESV, say, and worship of angels, and others say, the worship of the angels, like the NASB. I think I would tend to agree with the latter idea, but either way you take it, it doesn't change the threat or the nature of the threat, and it doesn't change Paul's argument. We must reject empty rituals. But why does this matter for us? Well, reflect and ask yourself, where are you most inclined to judge others? And also, where are you most inclined to submit yourself to judgment? Judgment that's not from the Lord. I know that most of the time, for me, this looks like fear of man. When someone else might be excelling in an area, I or we can simply assume judgment from that person or from others around us if we're not excelling in the same ways. But reflect. Ask yourself, is this from the Lord? Ask yourself where you might tend to condemn others who aren't doing the same things as you are. That condemnation that we feel or prescribe to other brothers and sisters is often rooted in our own self-righteousness. So ask yourself what kinds of things might fuel those responses in your own heart. Are you relying on Christ alone, or have you effectively smuggled in additional things and practices? Well, this leads us to our second point this evening: remain in real religion. In verse 17, Paul seemingly takes these Levitical elements of the false teaching in Colossae, and he describes them as a shadow. Paul is using this illustration to show us that these practices are empty and ineffective for true godliness and growth. And as we continue to read verse 17, we see that these are a shadow of things to come. And I actually think that the way the NIV reads is more helpful here. It says these are a shadow of things that were to come. This is helpful because it's showing us that the things to come pertain to Christ and they are present. Christ, the true substance, we have access to him now. We don't have to wait. Paul is helping us to see the difference between, in this language, between something that casts the appearance of something real versus the substance of the real thing itself. The commands of the law are shadows, but the fulfillment of the law is Christ. The substance of holiness is Christ. The fullness of God is pleased to dwell in him. Holding fast to him is what it means to hold fast to what is real. Paul then goes on in verse 18b and 19 to explain that one who does not hold fast to Christ is puffed up. He's puffed up without reason in his sensuous or unspiritual mind. And he has no true delight in the things of God, even if he appears very spiritual. And the very crux of all of this, the very center of all of this false teaching is what Paul says in verse 19. They do not hold fast to the head, Christ, the very Son of God, whom God sent from heaven, the one that would be made flesh and walk among us and fulfill all the demands of the law for us, the one who would go to the cross as the only perfect man and there die and suffer under the wrath of God, also that we could trade places with him. All you have to do this evening, if you're outside of his grace, is accept that free gift. Come in neediness and trust in no other thing but Christ himself. And you can know he is sufficient because he rose from the dead. And in rising, he gained victory over sin and death. There is no more punishment to be had, for he drank it all. Well, this Christ is the substance of true religion. And by remaining and abiding in him and his body, the church, we grow with a growth from God. This isn't a growth that merely modifies our behavior. This isn't a growth that improves our self-esteem. And it isn't a growth that makes us less needy or more independent. It's a growth that causes us to cling to Christ all the more and to his church. So do that. Grow in those ways. Look down with me again at verse 19. The whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. You see, the church community, the church gathered, is nourished from Christ. And you individually are nourished from Christ through the church. One of the means that God uses to accomplish this kind of growth, this kind of nourishment, is gathering with the local body. Through our fellowship with one another, hearing God's word read and preached, singing psalms, spiritual songs and hymns, prayer, participating in the Lord's Supper and baptism are all means that God uses to grow us as individual Christians, but also to grow us in our union with one another as we're all united to Christ. So see God's plan for our growth. Be encouraged that God is committed to his church, and we can lean in knowing that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, we do not have to settle for shadows and pictures. We have been given the true substance of real religion, the true substance of perfect purity, the person of Christ. Behold him, hold fast to him, and reject empty rituals. Remain in real religion. Let's pray.